Hello everyone and welcome back to Daily Kaylee's 13 Days of Halloween. Tonight's episode is about the Black Dahlia murder, aka the murder of Elizabeth Short. When I was doing research on different cases to bring to Daily Kaylee for season 4, I looked over this case numerous times because I thought for sure I had already covered this in season 1. And somehow, I haven't. If you have all been waiting for this, it's not because I didn't think it was important enough. It was because I thought it was so important I already covered it. With that being said, let's get into the Black Dahlia murder. This murder is something that I specifically remember being in middle school. And this was the first case I heard of that made me think, wow, true crime is interesting. It's not all boring history facts, which is funny that I would say that because I'm a history major. But I specifically remember being like 12 years old, maybe, in the 7th grade and hearing about the Black Dahlia murder for the first time. And that was like my true crime awakening, if you will. So, Elizabeth Short, she was born on July 29th, 1924. She is originally from Medford, Massachusetts, which is basically a smaller area in Boston. Throughout her childhood, she spent some time in Florida as well because she has a very interesting childhood. When she was a child, when she was about 6 years old, the police found her father's car parked next to a bridge, and there was no sign of him. It was believed that he had jumped from the bridge and committed suicide, and he was gone. Her mother struggled to take care of her and all of her siblings. I believe she had 4 siblings. Let me check here. Let's see. She had 3 siblings, all sisters. A couple years after her father was believed to have committed suicide, she had issues with asthma attacks, bronchitis, any sort of illness that you could get affecting your lungs. She got it and it was really bad for her. When she was 15, she had to undergo lung surgery. And because of this surgery, her doctor suggested that she spend winter in a more mild climate instead of the harsh winters that they had in Massachusetts. Because of this, her mom sent her to spend her winters with some family friends in Miami. And she did this for the next 3 years until she was 18. In late 1942, Elizabeth's mom received a letter in the mail. And it was basically an apology letter from her dead husband. He said he was actually alive, if that wasn't obvious, and he had actually started a new life in California. The stock market crash of 1929 took his career. He spent all of his life savings, lost his job. It was bad. So he faked his death and he started over in California. In December of 1942, she was freshly 18. Elizabeth moved to Vallejo, California to live with her father, which I'm going to be polite and say that was a leap of faith. She had not seen him since she was 6 years old, and she wanted to reconnect with her dad. However, just a month into living with her father, she moved out because they did not get along. They had many arguments, which I would say is to be expected after you haven't seen your dad in 12 years and you thought he was dead. So she moves out. She got a job at an Air Force base in Lompoc, California, or Lompoc, I don't know how to say it. Anyways, it's a city in Santa Barbara County. If you're from there, sorry. Anyways, she gets a job at this Air Force base. And she actually starts dating an Air Force sergeant and moves in with him. However, it's been speculated that he abused her. He was not a good boyfriend. So she leaves this city in the middle of 1943, a few months later. She moves to Santa Barbara. And she was arrested in Santa Barbara on September 23rd, 1943, for underage drinking. This is important. That's the only reason I'm mentioning this. They sent her back home to Massachusetts. However, she did not go home. She returned instead to Florida, where she stayed with the family friends. After she moved in with her father at 18, she only makes occasional visits to her family in Boston. She just never goes back home. While she was staying in Florida, she met another Air Force officer, and he was actually in training to be deployed for World War II. He was going to Asia. She later told her friends that he had written a letter while he was recovering from a plane crash in India and proposed to her. She wrote a letter back, accepted his proposal. However, he died in a second crash before he returned home. Very sad. She has a thing for men in the Air Force because in July of 1946, she removes to Los Angeles from Florida because she's actually visiting one of her acquaintances from Florida who was stationed in Long Beach at the Naval Reserve Air Base. This was a bad move because 6 months later, she is dead. The last 6 months of her life, she spends living in Los Angeles. She's working as a waitress, and she was actually renting a room behind a nightclub on Hollywood Boulevard. She was an aspiring actress. That was her dream. That's why she was in Los Angeles. That was her dream. On January 9th, 1947, it's reported that Elizabeth returned to her home in Los Angeles after a brief trip to San Diego with a man by the name of Red Manley. He was 25, and he was married, but she had been dating him. According to Red, he dropped her off at the Biltmore Hotel in downtown Los Angeles, and she was supposedly meeting her sister there, who was visiting from Boston. So he thought she was in good hands. If you can hear my cat, ignore her. She has no idea what we're talking about. She is not relevant. Anyways, her sister was supposedly meeting from Boston. He thought she was in good hands. He dropped her off. Some of the staff members reported that they were called seeing Elizabeth using the lobby telephone. However, shortly after, she was seen at the Crown Grill Cocktail Lounge, which is on South Olive Street, about 3/8 of a mile away from the hotel, extremely close down the street. This is presumably the last time she is seen alive. On the morning of January 15th, 1947, a little less than a week later, her naked body is found in an abandoned lot on the west side of South Norton Avenue in Los Angeles. Her body was naked and severed into two halves. The lot that she was found in is in a neighborhood called Limerick Park, and at this time, this neighborhood was largely undeveloped, so there was not a lot of foot traffic or people passing by at all. Her body was completely severed at the waist, and it was drained of blood. Not only had it been drained of blood, but it had been cleaned with gasoline. The medical examiners determined she had been dead for about 10 hours before she was found. That means her time of death was either sometime during the late evening of January 14th or in the early morning hours of January 15th. Her face had also been slashed from the corners of her mouth to her ears. So picture like the Joker smile. How did I get these scars? That is what she had. She had several cuts on her thigh and on her breast, and she actually had some cuts where entire portions of her skin had been sliced off. The lower half of her body had been positioned a foot away from the upper half, and her intestines had been tucked neatly underneath her butt. So she was completely cut in half. You could tell from a distance this was two halves of her body. She had been posed almost like a Barbie doll. She had her hands over her head with her elbows bent at right angles, like Barbie arms, and her legs were spread apart. At the crime scene, there was a heel print on the ground in between a set of tire tracks. There was also a cement sack nearby that was filled with watery blood. The autopsy report determined that her body had been cut in half by a technique that was taught in the 30s called a hemicorporectomy. Hope I'm saying that correctly. I'm not a doctor. The lower half of her body had been removed by transecting the lumbar spine between the second and the third vertebrae, which means they severed the intestines. It was completely cut in half. There was very little bruising along the incision, which suggested that this had been done after her death. Her skull was not fractured, but there was bruising on the front and the right side of her scalp with a little bit of bleeding in her brain. This is consistent with blows to the head. They determined that her cause of death was hemorrhaging from the cuts on her face and the shock from the blows to her head. It was determined that she may have been raped. However, they took samples from her body, testing for DNA, and it came back negative, so they're still not sure about that. She was identified by her fingerprints from her 1943 arrest in Santa Barbara. After she was identified, instead of being contacted by the police department, her mother was contacted by reporters from the Los Angeles Examiner. They told her mother that Elizabeth had won a beauty contest. And they told her this because they were prying for as much personal information about Elizabeth as they could get from her mom. It was not until they got all of this information that they revealed that Elizabeth had actually been murdered in Los Angeles. That was terrible. I guess to make it up, they offered to pay for her mother's airfare and for hotel accommodations if she would come to Los Angeles and help with the investigation. However, when she got there, this was also just another fucking scam to get information because this newspaper kept her away from the police and from other reporters so that they could get as much information out of her as they could to be like the number one official reporting newspaper on the Black Dahlia. It was really fucked up. On January 21st, 1947, a person claiming to be Elizabeth's killer placed a phone call to the office of James Richardson, which was an editor for the Los Angeles Examiner. He congratulated Richardson on the newspaper's coverage and basically said that he planned on turning himself in, but he wanted the police to pursue him. He told Richardson to expect some souvenirs of Beth Short in the mail. And he called her Beth, which is kind of weird because even her own mother didn't call her that. But he used the shortened version of her name, I believe, to seem more familiar with her, regardless of if this was her killer or not. However, a few days later, on January 24th, a suspicious envelope was discovered, and it was addressed to the Los Angeles Examiner. The words in the letter had been cut and pasted from different newspaper clippings, like, think of a ransom note. That's what it looked like. On the face of the envelope, a message said, "Here is Dahlia's belongings. Letter to follow." Inside of this envelope was Elizabeth's birth certificate, business cards, photographs, random names that she had written on pieces of paper, and an address book that had the name Mark Hansen embossed on the cover. The reason police believed that this envelope had come directly from her killer was because the whole envelope had been cleaned with gasoline, just like her body, which is a very specific detail. Even though it had been cleaned, they were able to get partial fingerprints off of this envelope. However, unfortunately for police and all of America, the fingerprints were corrupted during being transferred to the FBI, so there was nothing they could do. The same day that the newspaper received this packet, a handbag and one black suede shoe were found on top of a garbage can just a short distance from the crime scene. They had also all been cleaned with gasoline. On March 14th, a couple months after the murder, there was a suicide note found scrawled in pencil, and it was tucked into a shoe in a pile of men's clothing by the edge of the ocean on Breeze Avenue in Venice. The note said, "To whom it may concern, I have waited for the police to capture me for the Black Dahlia killing, but have not. I am too much of a coward to turn myself in, so this is the best way out for me. I couldn't help myself for that or this. Sorry, Mary." The clothing was found by a beach caretaker, and it was reported to the lifeguard captain, who then informed the police. The clothes were so normal that they gave absolutely no clues about the identity of their owner. There was a coat, a pair of pants, a t-shirt, underwear, tan socks, and tan leather shoes. Size 8, very average. There was absolutely nothing there. The police determined that Mark Hansen may be a suspect because he was the name on the address book that was found in her belongings. Mark Hansen was wealthy. He owned a local nightclub and a theater, and he was actually found out to be an acquaintance of Elizabeth Short. He knew a lot of the same people as her. They were not close friends by any means. However, a few of their friends said that Elizabeth had recently rejected Mark Hansen, so this could potentially be a motive. However, he was ultimately cleared of suspicion and nothing came from that. Other than Mark Hansen, the LAPD interviewed over 150 men, and all of them were cleared. Red Manley was also believed to be maybe a potential suspect because he was the last person to see her alive. However, he was cleared of suspicion as well. Multiple people that knew Mark Hansen were interviewed. All of them were cleared. A total of 750 investigators were working on this case. Not only from the Los Angeles Police Department, but there were other departments. There were 400 deputies on this case. There were 250 California State Patrol officers, and there was nothing. They searched so many different locations in Los Angeles. They even went through storm drains, abandoned neighborhoods, building sites. There was nothing. There was a reward posted for $10,000 for any information that would lead the police to her killer. And in present day dollars, this is over $130,000, and yet nothing came. A lot of people came forward with confessions hoping to get the money, but all of these were cleared. They were all dismissed as false. On January 26th, they received the last letter from her potential killer. This letter said, "Here it is. Turning in Wednesday, January 29th, 10 a.m. Had my fun at police. Black Dahlia Avenger." This letter also had a location listed at where he was supposedly going to turn himself in. The police waited. He never showed. At 1 p.m. on the same day, the Los Angeles Examiner received another cut and pasted letter, and it said, "Have changed my mind. You would not give me a square deal. Dahlia killing was justified." They were never able to identify who was sending these letters. They were never able to identify her killer or find out if this was indeed a real letter. Like, this was actually coming from the person who killed the Black Dahlia. Over the years, a lot of false facts, if you will, have been shared about the Black Dahlia, and a lot of rumors. Of course, this is a very sensationalized case. It's been shared that she was a prostitute, she was a stripper, she was pregnant, she was all kinds of things. At the end of the day, we don't know who Elizabeth Short was with the night she was murdered. If she knew this person, if it was random, we don't know what the motive was. And to this day, almost 80 years later, it's still one of the most famous cases of all time. I hope you guys enjoyed tonight's episode. I am so sad that 13 Days of Halloween is about to end. But I hope you guys are enjoying this as much as I am, and I will see you tomorrow. Bye, guys.